are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 12th of April. Truly remarkable. Just remarkable. We'll talk about that. Plus Donovan's performance. Amazing third quarters. The win over the Sacramento Kings and why the Washington Wizards are a tough one for us. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! Oh, whoa. The production band missed a beat there and screwed up this morning. Hope you're doing great. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. How many days a week do you listen to the show? Give me one more day. That's what all I ask. It'd be great to have you for one more day, unless you don't have it, unless it doesn't exist because you're already listening to all five. We do it every day. Love to have you aboard. And we are just dealing with and getting to be a part of a crazy, historic, unbelievable, amazing Jazz season. It's really, you know, I left the arena on Saturday night, just struck once again. And I think it's important for us to not forget it. The Jazz are 40-13. 40-13. They've won 75% of their games. The franchise came to Utah in 1979, and we've really only seen seasons like this once, twice, three times ever. It's really incredible. You know, like, I guess if you want to, you can nitpick and do... No. In 40-some-odd 2 years or so of having an NBA franchise, we've seen winning at this level three times. And that was with, at the time, arguably the best player in the league at two positions. Hey, you know what? I mean, Magic was around for a lot of it, so Stock wasn't. But like, really, like, Stockton and Malone. This is very different. Donovan's terrific. But in his fourth year, Rudy's amazing, but got a flaw or two. And we've got these pieces, this crazy guy, Joe Ingles, shooting 50% from three, and Mike Conley in a resurgence at 33, and Royce O'Neal, who gets through games impacting them with 12 rebounds without taking a shot. And Bojan Bogdanović, we all think is struggling so badly, and his three-point shooting numbers, like right on his career number. As he keeps trying to evolve. It's just amazing. And then we have a league that, unlike, frankly, a lot of years past, we have the parity, or at least a widening of available teams who could win it, that everyone's been asking for. You know, for all these years, we had the Warriors and the Cavaliers, and LeBron and the loaded Warrior teams, and they were you kind of knew they were meeting in the finals. Atlanta make a little run here, and Toronto do a little this, and no one was stopping those teams. No one was really stopping those teams. And no one was certainly stopping the Warriors. Houston would make their little surge. And we've got a legitimate eight teams in the NBA that could very easily play in the finals. I'm not quite ready to put Dallas there. But I think Milwaukee, Brooklyn, Philadelphia, Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers. It's an incredible NBA season. And from the Jazz standpoint, the story's really remarkable. And we just have to keep telling it. And I think, you know, I've heard the, oh, we don't get enough national media. I couldn't disagree with that more. We got everybody in the world wrote an article about us to start the year. There's just not really another story to write. And if there is, it's going to be written here sometime soon. It's as though the expectation of our fan base is that we're supposed to have like a national piece is written about us every day. That's just not how it works. Like, we've been number one for a long, long time. It's now on us to keep telling the story. And the story is Quinn Snyder using the stoppage of play last year to reevaluate what the team was with Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanović, and Jordan Clarkson. Three players we hadn't had before that the front office added to the mix. You remember they went through a massive roster transition on December 24th last year. And he goes and he takes the off season of the team or of the stoppage of play, and he kind of rebuilds who the Jazz are. And they come out of the bubble, into the bubble, playing a very, very different game than they were playing before. Much more high tempo, much higher shooting of threes, a very different game. If you go back and look, we come back to the bubble and we start shooting in our third game against the Lakers, we shoot 49% of our shots as threes. And then against Memphis, we shoot 47% of our games as shots as threes. And then we play Denver and do 49%, Dallas 52%, the Spurs 44%. And this is the new kind of team that we are. We're gonna start playing in transition a great deal more. We were a team that was not in transition very often, and we suddenly picked it up. And in fact, in the bubble, we shot most of our threes not playing in transition, playing in the half court. So Quinn, you know, you can sign Bojan Bogdanović and think you know what you're gonna get. Then you're gonna. And you can trade for Jordan Clarkson in the middle without a lot of practice times and see what you're going to get. And then, so you have all these little pieces of the puzzle, but you don't really know them until you get them. So Quinn astutely uses that time and then uses the bubble as like this new training ground. And maybe most importantly, the story that has to be told about this team is the work that was done in the bubble to rebuild the chemistry of this franchise, right? I mean, we were as the, you know, the team is the team and all of that. And then all of a sudden we weren't, right? Donovan and Rudy were having issues and problems and the camaraderie in the team wasn't good. And if you really look back at last year's performance, it was this incredible ebbs and flows that were very reminiscent of a team that did not totally vibe. They kind of would hit a stride and then they wouldn't hit a stride and they'd be really, really good and then really, really bad. That's generally representative of a group that, you know, kind of needs momentum, right? They started the year last year, I think, fairly well, and then they lost 5 of 6, and then they, next thing you know, they won like 18 of 19, and then they lost 5 in a row, and then they won 4 in a row, and then they lost 4 in a row, and then they won 4 in a row, and then they lost. I think I think going into the bubble, we were reeling a little bit, right? We had a nice win against Boston and beat Detroit, but we hadn't beat and then got blasted by Toronto. So, I mean, and that's the part two of the story is the bubble. And then part three of the story that we should be telling ourselves because we don't need other people to tell us is that really what Quinn Snyder's basketball is a master's degree, maybe even a PhD in basketball, where you accumulate knowledge and understanding as time continues. So suddenly when you have someone like Joe Ingles with 6-7 years of corporate knowledge and now Jordan Clarkson with 12 months of corporate knowledge and Mike Conley with 2 years of corporate knowledge and Donovan and Rudy with 4 and 6 years of corporate knowledge, the master's degree of basketball that Quinn Snyder puts in every night is growing upon itself. And that's what makes this team really different and special compared to what we've seen out of other teams. There's probably a parallel to the Stockton-Malone chemistry, but this is so different in the way they play. Quinn's ahead of the curve on how the game is being played. Whereas, you know, there was almost a pride of being back at the roots of the game under Sloan. We're going to be on the cutting edge. We're going to push it ahead. We're going to play the game faster and differently, and we're going to shoot early threes. The Jazz lead the league in threes in the first 6 seconds of the shot clock, and they're second in the league and in the first 9 seconds of the shot clock. So really, you know, and that's a Quinn adjustment that took place in these stages I'm talking about, where that's a massive change to who we were. We were playing advantage basketball in which Quinn, you know, we get into a set and then push good to great, and Quinn's made a transition that's, you know what, really good actually might be okay right away. So go take it and play with incredible freedom. And so you have not only these guys accumulating this knowledge and this master class of and really like a master's degree in basketball and playing such an intelligent style. And, you know, Sacramento threw a bunch of interesting things at the Jazz the other night. And just as the night goes on, they evolve and they figure it out and they get better by the quarter. We see it all the time. The Jazz are dominantly the best third quarter team in the NBA. No one's even close. And it's a symbolic or representation, actually, rather than symbolism, of the Jazz, of Quinn and the coaching staff's ability to make adjustments and the players having this master's degree in basketball. The Jazz are plus 15 in third quarters. The next closest in the league is plus 8. Like, it's not close. Number one offensive team by nearly 3 points per 100 possession. Number 6 defensive team. They're just, it's an, the game evolves. These guys now know if they're switching 1 through 5, if they're hedging the pick and roll, if they're doing this, they know how to react. The coaching staff is incredible. Their preparation makes these slight adjustments. And then you have this master's degree going on for these guys of what's taking place in the league. So to me, we can tell our own story. We don't need to worry about the national media. And our story is our head coach going back to the whiteboard and rebuilding the team during the stoppage of play last year with a better understanding, using the bubble as a place to rebuild a chemistry and a fabric and a togetherness that had frayed badly, and then using those games to play differently. A tragic loss basketball-wise against Denver, and a team that I haven't actually heard a great deal of. We're uniting against that game in memory. I'm sure it'll come back up here, and we'll see if they can get through that bugaboo and whether they can show the fight that they need to show in a playoff game, whether they have another gear in the playoffs. And then this evolution of this team into what I'm calling a master's class of knowledge of basketball and who they are and how to play. So that's the story. We can tell it ourselves. We don't need it to be told by others about who this team is and what they are. Donovan Mitchell has scored 120 points in the last 3 games, and it's kind of funky. We'll talk about it and look at it as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy, located in Woods Cross, also located in Logan. Murdoch, the Chevy lineup of trucks, the Silverado, how about this? 0% for 6 years or $4,400 bonus cash back on the 2021 Silverado. It's an amazing truck. Chevy trucks, I don't really need to say a lot about Chevy, right? It's Americana. It's the best trucks on the market. It's finding new roads. And the spring sales event is underway. And the Silverado truck is just awesome. The Colorado is the smaller of the trucks. It's a little, got a little bit more flexibility to it. It's kind of the truck that every family says, I just wish we had a truck. That's what the Colorado is. It's that, is exactly that truck. The SUV lineup is terrific as well. Probably underrated. The Suburban and Tahoe are not underrated. Those are staples. Everyone knows those are amazing. The new Trailblazer and the Blazer, probably a little underrated with the Equinox. And then the thing that's really underrated at Chevy is the Bolt. Friends of mine just got the Bolt. They're raving about the electric Bolt and Chevy showing kind of a wide array now of cars and doing it very impressively. That is all at Murdoch Chevy. Feel free to email me first at DLock09. We'll set up a VIP meeting for you. You're the hiring expert for your company. What do you really need is help making your shortlist a quality candidate? You need a hiring partner who helps you make your life easier. You need Indeed. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3. Post, screen, interview. That's not even a Quinn Snyder play. It just sounds like it. All on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates with resumes whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for the candidates that meet must-have qualifications and schedule complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with hiring and the right talent fast and easy. And with the tools like Indeed Instant Match, giving you quality candidates whose resume on Indeed fits your job perfectly immediately in Indeed skills test that on average reduces hiring time by 27%. And with the reduced workforces, let's be honest, no one has enough time for this. This is the hardest thing out there. According to TalentNest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than any other job site combined. So if you're hiring, you need Indeed. Get started right now. Free $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/locked. That's Indeed.com/locked. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/locked. Indeed.com/locked. Offer valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply. Locked On Today is your 20-minute sports recap. Please add it to your list. It's quite awesome. Hopefully, you've already added it. All right, let's talk about Donovan. I had a bunch of other notes, most of which I just got to. Kind of wanted to just get back in. Like, we're living our own world. We don't need outside validation. We can tell our own story. So Donovan has scored 120 points in three games. It's incredible. There's some really interesting aspects to it. Like, unlike earlier this year, when Donovan went bananas from three, it's the opposite. He's actually not shooting it very well. Donovan's averaging 40 points a game right now while shooting 25% from three. I didn't make that up. 25% from three. And he's taking 11 a game. What he's really done here that's remarkable is he's taking 11 free throws a game. That's a pretty considerable, dramatic difference than what, you know, this is a guy who at times in his career, we wondered whether or not he could get to the free throw line enough. That was the concern of whether or not his high volume, whether or not he could be efficient enough at the line. He went 3.8 his first year, 5.1 his second year. He dropped to 4.7. He's up to 5.9 free throws per game. What's so interesting about this is a pretty natural progression. If you look at Bradley Beal, who's now scoring 31 a game, Bradley Beal's first 3 years in the league, he averages 2.7 free throws. He gets to 21 years old. He gets a little stronger. He goes to 3.2. Then for 2 years, he's at 4.4. Then he goes to 5.5. And at 26 years old last year, he jumped to 8 free throws a game. And that's when he jumped from being his first part at 2 free throws a game. He was at 17 points a game. Then when he jumped to 4 or 5 free throws, he's at 22 to 23 points a game. Then when he went to 5.5 free throws, he went to 26. And then when he suddenly went to 8 free throws a game, he went to 30 points a game. Like, this is, and we're watching Donovan at 24 suddenly be at 5.9. Obviously came in the league super strong already. He's now at 26 points a game. And if you look kind of at Bradley Beal at 24 years old, at the same point, Bradley Beal's averaging 23 points a game at 4.5 free throws. We may be seeing the jump that Bradley Beal took at 26, where he suddenly went to 8 free throws a game right now from Donovan. There's a chance to me that we're going to see that. The, you know, 17 last night or two nights ago is the big number there. But if you kind of look back, other than the Orlando game where we blew him out and he didn't need to put it in, it's been 10, it's been 6, it's been 7, it's been 8, it's been 17. He's had 6 or more free throw attempts in every game but Cleveland, which we won by 39, Orlando, which we won by 46, for the last 8 games. He didn't have any free throw attempts against Brooklyn, we won by 30. He didn't have very many free throw attempts against Chicago, we won by 25. Like, you actually go look at any close game we've played recently, Donovan's got 6 or more free throw attempts in every single one of them, dating back to February 26th. So this is really interesting to me on it. This is like he's becoming a 6 to 8 free throw game a guy, which is going to change both his efficiency and his game. But like Miami, 8. Orlando, 8. New Orleans, 6. Philadelphia, 6. Houston, 8. Golden State, 8. Boston, 7. Washington, 7. Toronto, 16. Chicago, only 3. We won by 25. Brooklyn, 0. We won by 30. Memphis, 6. Cleveland, 2. We won by 39. Chicago, 10. Orlando, 0. We won by 46. 6 against Dallas. 7 against Phoenix. 8 against Portland. 17 against Sacramento. That yields you to believe he's feeling the game a little bit. Well, there's some data that backs that up recently. If we look at Donovan in his last 3 games, he takes 4 free throws in the first half of the games and 6.5 in the second half, and then 2 in the in overtime. He also is shooting, in the 3 games in which he's averaging 40 points a game, he's shooting 39% in the first half of games and 17% from 3. And the second half of games, he's shooting 53% from the field and 36% from 3. By period, 39% first quarter, 39% second quarter, 56% third quarter, 50% fourth quarter. Pretty wild. And the free throw attempts are all if the game is close. The other one that's interesting on Don right now is the shot chart of the last three games does not look like a guy who's dropping 40 points a game. On the left side of the floor, in the last three games, he's 2 of 20. Let me say that again. On the left side of the floor, he's 2 of 20. So, on the right side of the floor, he is 10 of 20. Okay, that's pretty great. And 5 of 11 from 3. But what's crazy to me when I look at this, he's 21 of 34 near around the basket, which is great. What's crazy to me when I look at this is here's a guy to me who like is not on fire. Right? He's shooting poorly from 3. He's got an entire side of the floor in which he's basically scuffling. And he's just dropped 40 a game in 3 straight games. That's astronomical. And I thought Donovan was on empty. And I actually tried to reach out to Don because I apologize if I'm wrong on this. I thought he was on empty in the first half the other night. Like, I thought his feet were dragging as he walked to the bench. I thought his shoulders were down. I thought he just had nothing. This kid is so remarkable and so special that he's just in such a winner that he's able to dig deep inside and find it somewhere, somehow. He's a really special dude. The leadership, the energy, the understanding of team, the understanding of what his teammates need, the reading of the room, maybe the conserving of energy until the last second when suddenly realizing, all right, if we're going to win, I got to do it. It's a big burden. It's really crazy impressive. The one that I'm seeing the most out of his leadership this year is on back-to-backs, which is what we had on Saturday. He's shooting 51% on no days rest. He's averaging 27 points a game in the 9 games with no days rest this year. It's really impressive. He's actually way better with no rest than he is on games with 2 or more days rest this year. Maybe that's something on how his body works. I don't know. But to me, what I've seen out of him is a commitment to understanding where the rest of the team is on nights where he needs it. He's just a really special kid. And he's still an NBA baby. We're asking him to do things that are just remarkable for someone of his age. But he's a unique one. All right, we'll touch on why Washington could be tough today. I didn't get a chance to get into the Kings did some interesting things, but we'll circle back to it as the week goes on. Remember, every Monday we do trends. Every Tuesday we do power rankings. Every Wednesday we do Quinn Snyder. Every Thursday we go live or have Twitter questions. And every Friday we do points gained. Decent chance no show Thursday this week. Just a heads up on that, but just wanted to give you, we'll see how I think that's the likely scenario here. All right, Jazz and the Washington Wizards, I will touch on coming up. Why is it possible that the Wizards are a difficult matchup for the Utah Jazz? Have you listened to Locked On Bets yet? Locked On Bets is our daily gambling show hosted by your boy Q with Lee Sterling. They run through the biggest things of sports, and it's all brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline.ag, you can play all the baseball out there if you want to. NBA futures right now, what are the championship odds? The Brooklyn Nets are at plus 220. The Lakers at plus 325. The Clippers at plus 575. The Jazz at plus 800. The Bucks at plus 900. The 76ers at plus 1200. And the Nuggets at plus 1400. with the Suns at plus 1,800. So we can also try to talk about it. We don't get enough respect. Well, we're getting a lot more respect in Phoenix and Denver right now, if you check that out. The conference futures, they have the Lakers at plus 190, the Clippers at plus 280, and the Jazz at plus 350. And NBA player futures, let me see if I can get that. Defensive player of the year, Rudy Gobert, minus 250. Ben Simmons, minus 210. Six-man Jordan Clark, minus 2,000. Joe Ingles is working his way up to plus 1,200 as the third candidate. Jalen Brunson is now the second. And the regular season MVP, Jokic, minus 250. Embiid, plus 475. Harden, plus 800. Giannis, plus 1,200. LeBron, plus 1,400. Kind of running away with it a little bit. It's all at betonline.ag. You also can play the race book as well. So that's all going on as we are warming up toward a lot of fun Kentucky Derby and the rest. Today's show also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar. A lot of great stuff going on with Built Bar. The amazing flavors, new flavors being released, new products. Today they released their new Immune Energy Built Boost, which is, if you ever drink Emergency, it's kind of their version of that. It's really quite good. Plus, they've got all of the bars available for you. You can get your mixed 18-bar mixed option, or you can mix and match yourself. Go to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off. Feel free to tag I'm Built, hashtag I'm Built, in any of your social media out there. That's hashtag I-M-B-U-I-L-T. And they'll pick up on that. They've had a good time with that. The macros are incredible. Just 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, 4 sugars, 6 grams of fiber, and 17 grams of protein. So you're getting just 130 calories with 17 grams of protein, and you're getting just 2.5 fat grams. It's Built Bar. It's fairly remarkable. And it can't tell if it's a candy bar or if it's a protein bar. BuiltBar.com. All right, Trends Monday. We always like to just kind of see, and I feel like we, more so than ever before, kind of with everything going on. So Friday, or Saturday, I feel like I should go back to Friday just in case the games are flying at us at speed. We've all got life, and you just feel like I take an hour every day to kind of go back through the box scores, but it's my job. You don't have time for that. So on games that mattered to us on Friday, of things of interest, Pelicans won, Grizzlies lost, so that's kind of it, getting into that whole play-in battle. The Nuggets held off the Spurs, 121-119. They've been dominating. This was not as good an performance from them, but they were good. The Clippers blew out the Rockets, so no surprise there. On Saturday, the Lakers got a really big signature win over the Brooklyn Nets without their guys. 126-101, super impressive. Their defense without, we'll talk about it here in Trends, has been great. And then the Suns blew out the Wizards, 134-106, as Bradley Beal didn't play. And the Blazers won, Enes Kanter having a mammoth night, holding on to their 8th spot. Then yesterday, the Nuggets had this disaster. Fourth quarter, got outscored like 31-3. Pelicans found a way to win again and kind of keep knocking on the door. I think there's a high chance Pelicans will end up being the 8th seed by the time they win out on everything. Spurs beat the Mavericks 119-117, coupled with the Lakers' win the other day, just seeming more and more unlikely that anyone's going to catch the Lakers and push them any further than 7th. I'm not sure we actually want them to do that. I think putting them in 6th and we stay in the 1 seed seems fine to me. Blazers got tired and lost to Miami last night, while the Clippers actually struggled with the Pistons, but then did what you'd expect them to do in the fourth quarter. So just kind of a quick check of the standings at this point. We're still 2.5 up on Phoenix, so they have the tiebreaker. Clippers are at 4 back. Nuggets are at 6 back. Lakers are at 7. Portland's at 9. And the Mavericks are at 10.5. The big number is the Mavericks are 3.5 behind the Lakers with Anthony Davis back in 2 weeks, LeBron back in 3 weeks. I just don't think they're catching them. I think we can close the door on that. The question will be whether Dallas or Portland is 6 or 7. And otherwise, I think the top 5 are pretty well set. And the question is whether the Lakers, whether we can get the Lakers down to six. But right now, they're sitting at five. That win against Brooklyn was mammoth, and it seems more and more likely that they're at five. Now, frankly, from our standpoint, Denver and the Lakers are probably the two biggest challenges to win the West, and in most people's opinion, are probably one and two right now to win the West. They may play in the first round if the season started today. It'll be interesting to see if Denver tries to tank its way out of it or can play its way through it or something of that nature. Play-in tournament's interesting. New Orleans is now within a game of the Warriors. I suspect they're going to catch the Warriors, lost Wiseman. And then I think New Orleans ends up being the team that's the best out of that group and ends up getting out of it to playoffs. All right, here are the trends of what's going on in the league right now. But first, why the Wizards are such a difficult matchup. You guys thought I was going to forget again. I usually do. Here's the Wizards. There's two notes on the Wizards that make it very, very difficult for us. One is they are denying shots at the rim at a really, really dramatic level. They allow 25% of opponent shots at the rim. The league average is 33%. We have never, that I can find in the history of the league, ever had a team that is 8 percentage points below league average. Milwaukee kind of started this the last few years and was pretty dramatic at what they were allowing at the rim. They were at 29% and the league was at 35%. But what Scott Brooks and Washington has done is historic. In 18-19, we had Milwaukee kind of doing it again at 30%. And the league was at 36%. What we're also seeing is as teams commit to just taking away the rim the way Milwaukee did, the number of rim shots has gone from 36 to 33% in the league. It's not just because teams want to take threes. It's because teams aren't allowing people to get to the rim. But Washington only allows 25% of the shots at the rim. Next best in the league is 27.5. And next is 30. Like, it's crazy. They're 5 percentage points fewer shots at the rim than all but one other team in the league. It's a huge outlier, and what Scotty Brooks has done is amazing, and they don't allow a lot of threes either. So they have the best shot location defense in the NBA, and that busts us up a little bit. They force us into mid-range shots. They get us off the three line. They cause us some difficulty in that. The other thing about them is that they want to run. And our weakness, and with Russ, they do run. And our weakness is the fact that we're not great in transition defense. And they play the second most of any team in the league in transition. They're not great at it, but they get out more than any team in the league in transition. Play off live rebounds at a huge rate. And this is where we're not great. That's our bugaboo. We're not particularly athletic. We don't get back a great deal. We are 27th in the league in the amount of kind of live rebound action. We're 22nd in the league in denying transition. We're 17th in the league in defending transition. And we're number one in the half court. So Washington taxes us in two ways. One, we can't get to the rim. And two, they get out and run on us when they disrupt our offense. And they blew us out last time we played them. So we'll have to see if we can react to that tonight. All right, quickly, let's do trends because we do it every Monday. We're long on the show. All right, last 2 weeks, the number one team in the NBA is the Utah Jazz. Number two is the Clippers. Memphis, number 3 point differential, 5-3. Denver, 4. Dallas, 5. Phoenix, 6. Yes, all Western Conference teams. The number one offense in the NBA is the Clippers are ridiculous at 123.6. They're shooting 42% from three, highest rate anyone ever in the history of the game who takes at least 30. Memphis is second offensively the last 2 weeks, which is amazing. I don't know how. Phoenix is third. Utah is 4. Atlanta, 5. Brooklyn, 6. Denver, 7. Best defense in the NBA is Philadelphia, then followed by the Lakers. Incredible work by Frank Vogel. Without their main guys. Utah's the third best defensive team. Dallas, 4th, which is exactly what Dallas wanted to do. Dallas is going to be a tough playoff out for someone. I'd have to say our hope is that Dallas gets to 6. Oh, actually, it doesn't really matter to us. If we stay at, this is why we've got to stay at 1. We just got to stay at 1. And then you deal with the second round of probably Lakers or Denver, but that's the reality. And then Phoenix or the Clippers to get to the finals. And the second round's probably harder than the conference finals. But I, you know, ideally, I guess Denver plays Portland or Dallas, and Portland catches the Lakers for five. But that loss to Miami last night, and coupled with the Portland wins, makes that seem very unlikely. New York's defense is the fifth best. Worst offensive team in the league. Not a lot of surprises here. We'll see them this week. Oklahoma City's way worse than anyone else. Orlando, Washington, Lakers, and New Orleans. New Orleans, 26th in the league offensively in the last 2 weeks. I don't know how that's humanly possible. Washington's not very good offensively in the last 2 weeks, so we're going to have to win this game defensively because I just talked about how we'll struggle defensively. Oklahoma City is the worst defensive team, followed by Houston. San Antonio's not stopping anyone. Sacramento, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Chicago. All right, let's go to two-week trends. We like that a little bit better. Kind of tells a different picture, particularly at this point of the season. And the number one team in the league last 2 weeks is Utah, number two, Phoenix, number three, the Clippers, number four, Milwaukee. A lot of that without Giannis. They're playing better than people are realizing. Five, Denver, and six. Oh, wait a sec. That's for the season. Never mind. Quickly, last 10 games. I was like, that looks a lot like the season. Utah, last 10 games. Utah's number one. Clippers, number two. Phoenix, number three. Boston, massive win against Denver, four. Dallas, five. Philadelphia, six. The offensive team, the Clippers are one. Utah 2, Phoenix 3, Memphis in there again at 4, Atlanta at 5, Denver at 6. Nate McMillan's got Atlanta playing pretty well. Best defensive teams, the Lakers number 1 over the last 10 games, the Knicks number 2, Sixers 3, Jazz 4, Boston 5, Dallas 6. Dallas' defense being good over the last 10 games is really interesting. Worst teams in the league defensively, offensively, the Thunder again, the Magic, the Wizards who we play tonight, the Lakers, the Cavaliers, and the Knicks. And the worst defensive teams in the league, Thunder, Rockets, Warriors, Wolves, Kings, who we just played, and the Spurs. And worst teams in the league, the Thunder being outscored in the last 10 games by 20 points per 100 possession. Magic, Warriors, Rockets, Wizards, who we play tonight, and the Cavaliers. Biggest thing for the Jazz, Phoenix and Dallas got all the pub, sweeping this five-game homestand. Washington and OKC, Monday, Tuesday, 2 days off, and then Indiana before heading to L.A. to play the Lakers without LeBron and AD for two. So, big stretch of games. Sometimes the most high-profile games aren't the most important. Right now, tell your smart device to listen to the most recent episode of podcast Locked On today.